This is Wednesday, June 24th at 3:37 p.m. Hawaii time. It is reading number 62, Carolyn with Ion.
And it's Ion on medicine. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Well, yesterday we had quite an interesting session. We thought we were doing, or I thought we were doing, eye problems, and it got into just hours and hours of incredibly interesting information about vision and seeing beyond vision.
Except for vision, man on your planet perish.
Oh, now there's quite a statement. Wow.
You have no vision, you have no wanting, you have no asking, it's done.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And in the dark ages, well, now you're starting this, so.
I'm happy.
We roll along here. That's what you call your dark ages.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you creators, God, then brings forth prophets.
Ah.
We might as well just go ahead and finish it up while you're in the full circle.
Okay.
That's why man cries to the land for the voice of a prophet. That's the original inception or conception of conceived, contrived, pick your poison, mm-hmm. of bringing forth a prophet who begins his saying, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Riddled all through your Old and New Testament.
Uh-huh.
Allah, even in Muslims and Hindu and Buddhist, they mm-hmm. have a deity that's in the form of a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That speaks truth in those words.
Mm-hmm.
Unjudged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all right. But then they become a messiah or a savior or a something. And typically then they end up killing them, of course, but that's the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
But the easy process is that's what summons the prophet. Isaiah is a very famous one.
What summons a prophet is the wanting?
The disconnection from source.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet comes forth to let them know to be of good cheer and the things that are going to take place, and it holds them in bay until they can relax and allow into that new received conception.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, yes.
There's more into sex than conception,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a disconnection, you won't conceive.
Mm-hmm. And is that the role or one of the roles of Ion coming forth at this time?
Was summoned, yes.
Hmm. And who summons Ion?
A disconnected... Well, we have to be very careful here. What the right words are, from a sick and dying world.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? There's not a sick and dying world.
Mm-hmm.
But those are true words. Now, here's where Bob says, Ion says yes to everything. Well, okay, fine. The world sees themselves as sick, disconnected, and dying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a false premise. But yet, that's where they are. So you are where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you are where you are, and you got to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
See, otherwise, it becomes too large a step.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
Very interesting that your sitting president allowed board of governors with your reserve
uh-huh.
to get interest rate down to almost zero.
Wow.
0.25, 25 basis points.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And with no fear of any inflation.
Hmm.
Unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's unheard of. You have to consider that they've made money now that there's not any of worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that a second now. money that is, that there's not any of, they've made worthless. Very interesting.
Because if you are working with money and have no way to increase that money, it just stays empty?
No, the value of money is based on time. See, because if you have money in a deposit and it's for a time deposit for a year, and it's drawing 10% interest in a year, you make 10% more than you had. Well, now you make 0.25%. So what's the point?
Right.
You see, they've eliminated the time factor in the repository, which is dangerous. Well, maybe not. It's wonderful, but but you see, the way it's perceived is to stimulate things. Well, how does lessening stimulate? Now think about that. You're dehydrated. So you cut off fluids to stimulate hydration. Isn't that like committing suicide because you're afraid of dying? We're just asking the question and it's tongue in cheek, but but it was, this came from a conversation with you and your husband, so.
Well, what about Ion and the discussion we've been having about time, if they're eliminating the time factor, isn't that a good thing? Because
it's
there
fabulous.
Is no time.
It is fabulous. It absolutely is. It absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is. It's glorious. The heavens are rejoicing.
And why is that?
Because they're being forced to come to the only thing that ever worked anyway.
Right.
You see, so we see that as wonderful. But now here, now let's take this back to your medical. All right? People have a problem with a fever.
Right.
Right. You get a 105 degree fever, there's a problem. Okay, but that's not the problem. The fever is increasing your body core temperature to kill off or sterilize whatever it is that's eating at the inflammation, infection, degradation, pick a word. But they immediately start going crazy when you get a 101 degree fever. When actually that's the natural response or repose to balancing the flora and fauna within your system. So they'll doctor the fever and not have regard for what's causing it. It's another good example of the backward way that perception causes or precedes causes.
Okay.
So very good. Now that's our little tirade, so we'll begin.
Oh, that was a pretty good beginning. And yes, it'll be a good jumping off point for a whole dialogue on that topic. And yes, getting back then to the medicine with Ion. The next in the alphabetic line here is fatigue, and you know, that's not so much an illness, but is there anything you want to say about fatigue?
Well, if you're going to take it all the way to the fibromyalgia, now it is. What is fatigue? You have no energy.
Right.
You have no capacity or wanting or desire to engage. That disconnection, sometimes in clinical depression, it's the main key symptoms of how you know that is from a malaise or fatigue. Something that you're most passionate about.
Right.
All of a sudden you lose all your flavor for.
Right.
Sometimes men, as they age, they lose their flavor for intercourse. Which is, if that's a big, if that has been a large part of their life, you see, that's radical.
Right, right.
And that fatigue then is set on from setting up the disconnection of using something as your excuse for something that you don't really want to do or that you've not lined up with to take action regarding. So you use that as your excuse, arguing for your limitation where you don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that long enough, then that becomes the standard, and then you won't be able to do it. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that the same thing is true with the atrophying of a muscle?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you adjusting things?
There's a wind. I think you're hearing the wind.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. No, that's fine. We just wanted to make sure that
yeah.
you were hearing it clearly, because it's perfect for us, but mm-hmm. we just want to make sure there wasn't something we were doing that was...
No, you're always perfect.
we want to accommodate to your pleasure.
Thank you. So, yes, fatigue can be giving people a reason, and then they get stuck in that reason.
Certainly. You don't want to go somewhere, so you use that excuse. Well, then the next thing you know, that excuse becomes your manifested creation.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only can you not do that, you can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You say, when it'd be just as easy to say, I'm not going, I'm not doing it, I feel absolutely wonderful and fine, and when I line up with it, then I may do it, but if not, I do have to know that I'm not going until I line up with going.
Yeah.
And if that's a problem, then it's yours and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you'd be so liberating, because then it's kind of like this calling in well to, or calling in sick to work.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't it be just as apropos? You get the days regardless. Call in well. Say, boss, I feel absolutely too good to come into work today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Love you. Mean it. But I'm not wasting my sick day on sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Then the good news is they turn those into personal days sometimes. But now that's the extreme. Now you're not talking about the extreme. You're talking about the normal. Restlessness, not resting. People sit around all day, every day, and they're resting, sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about an imbalance of rest of the sleep process, let's evoke that just a little bit.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. It's very fun.
What?
Just paying attention to source in your perception is interesting. Things show up about. There's large lights that are very interesting.
Where?
From my perspective, it's coming kind of everywhere.
Huh.
It's like stadium lights.
Yeah.
You know, when you full increase. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
All right, fatigue, not resting well, not sleeping well, not being nourished in your rest stage,
mm-hmm.
coming to a completeness. But then if it's something you enjoy or like doing or want to do, you have no problem just going at it head on,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah. And, I think you've covered that. Because I do want to go into fibromyalgia, and that is actually coming up right after fibrocystic breast disease and fibroids.
Yes, of course. All right.
So let's do fibrocystic breast disease. Fibroid
okay.
Growth in the breast.
Yeah. Sometimes they form as like a little egg, a gelatinous egg
mm-hmm.
of the cyst that would be removed that they want to cut out with a chainsaw
mm-hmm.
every time, because the fat in the process of the breast, it isolates those what you call contaminants.
Mm-hmm.
And we call them contaminants because they have to get them out to decide if they're malignant or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Rarely are they?
Correct.
But yet you have to whack them out because they have to come out.
Mm.
Not, they can't be dissolved, they can't be irradiated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then if you're really having a question, then the prophylactic way to handle it is just whack the breast off altogether.
And they do that too.
Yeah, and a prophylactic dose.
Yep.
Now think about that just a second. I have such fear that I'm in line to get this cancer that I'm going to have the thing that can get cancer cut off.
Yes, yeah.
But what's going to stop that from having cancer right behind where you cut that if that's your motivation of your creation?
Right.
Creation motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get ahead of this and we'll remove this problem because it's not a problem. But we're going to remove the problem, so it's not a problem. Oh, wait, it's not a problem. Oh, wait, we're going to give our undivided attention to this problem. It's not a problem, so it's not a problem, so it doesn't become a problem. So we're going to cut it off to conceal the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes logical, progressive sense. How?
How? Yeah.
We're just asking. I mean, that would kind of be how ionic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
From non-physical, we just don't understand. And we'd like to, but we don't.
Uh-huh.
But it's not our place because we're just non-physical.
Right, and in terms, of the conflict or the disconnect that might lead to this condition?
Yes. Anytime you have something that, with women folks specifically, however, men in their pectoral worlds, when that becomes a big thing, when they have to have a certain degree of pecs, sometimes using with an antibiotic steroid, they also have been known to develop those in the lymph nodes under the arms and in the pectoral muscles also.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
Men can get breast cancer and they don't have breasts.
I know.
That's the same example of the unconnection.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you have that process, women come to a place where that becomes the focus of their beingness.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if they're not worthy, then that's when they have to forfeit a breast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worthy of their completeness.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it becomes the voluminous breast end up causing health issues because of the disproportion within their stature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you go all the way into augmentation and then the silicone implants, which is just a whole other can of baloney. But regardless, it becomes that importance placed on that physical attribution.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay? The ones who have to go get manicures because their feet have to look a certain way or their hands have to look a certain way because that's very, very, very important are the ones more aptly prone to the nail funguses because of the attention that they give and to the precise perfectness of their cuticle in those regions and areas. That's much more easier to talk about than balanced nipples or processes in the
breast. Oh, but that doesn't hold you back.
Well, of course, but we were just trying to be genteel, but we kind of got it there anyway, didn't we?
Yes.
Because, you see, that becomes part of the psychic persona.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're afraid their husbands don't want to sleep with them anymore if they have this issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid that they are not pleasant or pleasing to their mate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have to be pleasing to your mate, you're probably not with the right one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're back to the stages of holding someone else responsible for your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the same thing in lesbian relationships. That's the same thing in what you call homosexual relationships. If you're a lover who's loving love, then it's not an issue or a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're not pushing against anything, because the only abominations are before God are the ones that you judge.
Okay.
You know, you don't even have to understand it, but there's lots of things that go on that people don't understand, and yet they embrace them.
Mm-hmm.
Television news is a good example.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Fibrous disease.
Did we get all the disconnection you wanted from that, and how the breast encapsulates it and seals it off to let it be?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you decide you have to cut it off. Now you even have to do the what we call, jokingly call the tit test, to find them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do those examinations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
trying to find them.
Yeah.
And you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look. You got to look thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And be real careful that you don't miss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know it just drives some women completely around the bend with worry when they find something, which they're bound to find because the breasts are not just a piece of jelly. There's stuff going on in there.
Well, of course, of course, mm-hmm. of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes that, and you can have all kinds of ingestion problems that can show up there, and that's only based upon the importance placed on that aspiration.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, oh, here you go. Here's the exact opposite. Oh, no, the exact same. Oh, no, it's different. Oh, wait, it's the same. Oh, wait, it's the different. These supermodels that get to a certain age and stage of life and then develop rosacea.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's so important. The complexion is so perfect. It's why they made an oil of Olay.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And people live by that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just aesthetic. If you keep looking for it, it'll be the last place you look and then you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
So keep looking and you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, we are powerful creators.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's fibroids down at the other end
yeah.
of the...
Okay, same thing, different, same process.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the dangerous ones are ones that are channeled. Those would be fibroids that you'd find in the fallopian tubes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They stop things up.
Mm-hmm.
Same identical thing. And you can almost layer those into these processes of melanomas, but mm-hmm. not really, because fibroids come from a disconnection in your, well, we'll just do it this way. There are no virgins who suffer from fibroid cysts.
From fibroid, you mean in the uterus? Oh, yeah, we're talking.
Well, now you go, but now you go, now wait a second. Now,
yeah.
Wait a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
So this has to do with your standard playful thing of painful intercourse is better than none at all.
Well, that's but hardly playful. I don't really appreciate that.
I understand, absolutely, but that's the disconnect, you
mm-hmm.
see. And then you come into a place when you're in that position, and then that becomes the creation from the woman's standpoint, you see. Now, let's clean that up so we don't get too far down the rabbit hole. Now, the virgin womb does not suffer from fibroids.
Okay.
Right?
Right. I guess. I mean, I haven't investigated it, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, do. Please do. But regardless, that's not the case. All right? So now you come into a relationship, and if that relationship is wonderful, then fibroids can be something that the body encapsulates as becoming to make cells that grow and divide into this fibroid thing, okay? We like cysts. Cysts are really good, but they're different when they're in the uterus. They
right.
seem to have more texture
right.
rather than just like an egg yolk little mm-hmm. cyst in the breast.
Right.
You know, that they can just lop out and not open up. Just, you know, they just do a cystectomy. This is more done from the flora and the fauna in the uterus itself. And any disconnection from that aspect then shows up that way. See? Here's an example. You're having a relationship, maybe an extramarital affair. Okay? And then that comes into, and the next thing you know, you're involved in what you call a condyloma or those different type of spiritually transmitted things.
Right.
But sometimes they don't manifest that way. Sometimes they are concealed.
Mm-hmm.
And in them being concealed, they get encapsulated, and then they start growing. They're still there, but it's like you're marijuana growing in the basement. You don't want the neighbors to know that you're in the marijuana growing business.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the uterus.
Well, I don't know if that could bear out, because if they study fibroids, they just find it's muscular tissue. I've never heard that it's a condyloma or harboring any STD.
Well, it's
STD.
Not, but that's many. No, I understand, but many times that's how it shows up. Because you got to deal with STDs. How do you get STDs? If you're in a loving relationship that's not loving, then there's disconnection. And anytime there's disconnection, then there's all kinds of things that can go wrong horribly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're breaking your own rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see? But a lady of ill repute who is working at the Bunny Ranch has no problem with it at all whatsoever, because there's no problem with them having a pleasure doing business with someone.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the disconnection, well it's
sets
not necessarily an STD, but it just sets up the possibility of these fibroids.
An STD is nothing other than an invitation that you send out saying that you feel broken and disconnected and can't find love and can't love in a loving manner that would be appropriate based on my place of knowingness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you see? Now let's take that on the other side. Catholic Church had lots of trouble with that too, by eliminating their priest in those capacities and prospects. And they're supposed to be the hearer of all, the lover of love, the leader of the shepherd over the flock. And how many altar boys find that to be not quite so compassionate?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? And then it goes into all other rampant sides. Now, we're not trying to change the subject. We're trying to get to the place of you can't break your own rules. If you break your own rules, then you're going to set yourself into a place where that has to be the fallout or the next logical step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then fibroid growths, those cellular, now the HPV is another part, but the cervical cancers, many times those are spawned from the same type process of a fibroid malignancy.
It's the same type process as fibroid, you mean the same disconnection, right?
Yes.
Right.
The same way. So it's just a very broad way of covering many of those. That's that aspect in correctness. Now, sometimes it's also as you change or go through the change, when your estrogen, testosterone levels are correcting themselves as you go through a different stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that also sets that up into a, I want to continue this relationship and it's very pleasure to me, but I'm imbalanced in my hormonal aspects of it, and that can also then send an invitation of having that also, that change in that flora and fauna. And also set that into, I'm not worthy to enjoy this that I don't enjoy anymore, that I do enjoy, but I don't know why I feel the way I feel. Somebody's going to get hurt. You see what I'm saying? Just because it's the same thing is true. If you take your car or your lawnmower or something that runs on a boat motor,
mm-hmm.
and if it runs on high test, and all of a sudden you start putting regular in, you're going to have problems. Or if you have a regular... Sometimes they take a gas oil mixture, like a two-cycle engine where you have to add oil to it, and you put straight gas in it, it's going to overheat.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're going to have carburetor trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that carburetor trouble is exactly what you're talking about here within the balancing in the hara, which is a very, 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 very key balancer or grounder within your chakras. You
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if your third eye chakra sees this is becoming a problem, then the invitation goes out to them, fibroids would be your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of why, see, why doesn't have anything. Many things are created and no one knows why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you created time and nobody understands why.
Okay.
So, did you get that disconnection? That's how you, if you break your own rules, then you set yourself into those windows.
Yeah.
And here's the good side of that. Now, there's always good sides of it. Sometimes it also brings you to a place where you have a reconciliation with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you have to have something now, please God, we're never suggesting a full hysterectomy and whacking out all the guts and the insides. And, you know, we think about as highly of hysterectomies as we do bowel resections.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do them unless it's absolutely life or death.
Right.
But, you know, you don't do it because you're feeling a little blue today.
Yeah.
But they don't parallel them that way. They'll schedule you for hysterectomy in 2.3 seconds.
I know, yeah.
You see, because that's just the easy way. Well, your mama had cancer, and your granny had cancer, and your great aunt had cancer, and your sister had cancer, so let's just go ahead and take care of this now.
Yeah, you don't need it anymore. But you were saying the good side brings you into place of reconciliation.
Yes, it brings you into place of reconciliation where you can almost sometimes... Do you realize that many times that cancers are healed when you forgive yourself?
Absolutely.
Do you understand that fibroids are something that's foreign within your system? It's there and you have to reconcile why you have them?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go all the way into a condyloma, which you go, well, wait a minute. What is it that's going on that this has shown up as a manifestation in my world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then forgive yourself in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The same thing that they don't have trouble with terminating a pregnancy that's done vis-a-vis rape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's a whole other conversation. But what if they got some horrible cervical fibroid cancer that turned into something nasty over that same process?
Mm-hmm.
You see, but you got to come to that balance. And things take place and show up if your rules are so staunch.
Mm-hmm.
They're stodgy. That would break the rules, then you have to find a way to let yourself off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a great way to let yourself off the hook.
What is?
To come into it, have something come into your life that make you have to deal with it.
Uh-huh, okay.
You see? And it becomes a great way for you to go past that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't have to be a big deal anymore. And if it's not a big deal anymore, then it's no big deal and no different than a skin cancer. It grows in something, and they look at it, and they freeze it or burn it or whatever they do. And then they decide they're just going to whack it out. Okay, fine. If it's going to offend the body, no problem, you see.
But sometimes, you know, something coming into your life can be another distraction that keeps you away from the reconciliation.
Depends on where you give your undivided attention regarding it.
Right.
And we notice we didn't say give your undivided attention to regarding it.
Right.
It's undivided attention regarding it.
Right, right.
And that depends. If it shows up, then that becomes a way to sort of sift it out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a problem with the whole process because, I mean, you used to go to the barber. You used to go to the blood letters. You had poison blood, so they'd take off your blood.
Yeah.
You see? And guess what? That was a very fruitful, effective process. They lived through that.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did, Carolyn. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten to the place of having the technology to know that there is no bad blood. Oh, wait, you can have bad blood in your family. Oh, wait, you can have bad blood within a fighting feud. Oh, wait, you can have bad blood between a brother. Ah, isn't that interesting? We kind of made a full circle here. The rules are what? Your rules, your individual rules that your place of allowing or disallowing all of these fibroid issues.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see. And also where those fibroids are attached has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That is that not the beginning of what you call some of your molar pregnancies?
Hmm.
If you have that, are prone to the condition of fibroids, and then you have maybe a pregnancy that won't develop because of this process, that also becomes another disconnection.
Yeah, it can definitely be in the way.
Yes, and that then it depends on where it is in proportion to the cervix.
Right.
And how the cervix line up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, because it can block it, or it can also make it where that the new fertilized egg can attach to the uterus to procreate into gestation of a baby anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did we do that enough for you?
I think so. I mean, you just went all over the ship, but, you know.
That's the way it is.
And sometimes I'm just too tired to stop you. I'll let him go. I'll edit him out.
it'll reach you.
Okay.
It's very interesting. The whole dynamic is interesting, but it has all to do with the rules.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, of course.
We don't want to offend, but the problem is not the offending. The problem is learning how to forgive yourself.
Right.
If you set yourself off the hook, there's all kinds of sins that can be overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. And now we're back to fibromyalgia, which you had alluded to with the fatigue.
Yes. Fibromyalgia is a new, if they don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
that's what they call it.
Yeah, right.
If they come into a place that it's almost like the beginning stages of when they didn't understand gout.
Mm-hmm.
With the flow of the uric acid.
Mm-hmm.
Uric acid, no, it's uric acid.
Mm-hmm.
But it can turn into uric acid, which is an even bigger issue deal of that flow.
Mm-hmm.
Of the joint issues. The same thing is true in the same, and it's the case is those that are eliminate the possibility of this thriving pain, this phantom pain, this, some call it, you realize in their beginning stages, a hypochondrical pain.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, it doesn't matter because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to do the broken arm story. Okay, you fall off your bike and your arm hurts like it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the only way to know if it's broken is to go have an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless it's sticking through the skin, then that's a pretty good opportunity to know that it's, you know, broken.
Yeah.
With the char. When you can do a bone marrow biopsy by taking with a swab on the end of an open end of a bone, you can get a real good idea that the bone is pretty well broken.
Right.
But the only way you know, but it doesn't matter because if it hurts like it's broken, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is actually the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes sprains, bad sprains, are worse than a break.
Yes.
But you see, the whole thing with this fibromyalgia thing, if you have this abject pain, you have this abject fatigue, you have this abject just crippling in a function,
mm-hmm.
then that's how that shows itself up. And they had to figure out a name for the lack of ease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Typically, it's in middle to older age ladies. There are men folks there. Are they diagnosing it with men folks yet?
Yes, mm-hmm. But it's mostly women. And it's not, I mean, it's young women as well. It's all ages.
Mm-hmm. Funny how the disconnection seems to be spreading.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking for a reason, darling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a reason, the disease will find you.
Yeah. And why is it such a new disease?
It's not new. It's the same disease that they gave the woman's Valium as happy pills in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mama's little helper.
mm-hmm.
They did it because it just made that just so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to be home. She's got to raise the kids. She's got to do the laundry. She's got to cook the dinner. She's got to keep the husband happy so he can make the bombs that we're going to use to make us this wonderful planet.
Mm-hmm.
You see? She's got to stay balanced. So here's a little Valium that'll help you along and take the edge off. So things may be going to hell, but you don't care. Well, if you don't care, then it doesn't matter. Then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden everything's okay. Daddy's happy. Mama's happy. Everybody's happy. We're good. Move
mm-hmm.
on down the road. Well, now then every other thing that they use to overcome a possible or influenced disconnection has to show up some other way, so they have to name it something else.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So then you have this now, the new thing is coming into a place of they can't use opiates to work with fibromyalgia, can they?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they used to.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a phantom new thing. This has been around forever. They just keep redefining it, refocusing it, redefining it, so they can come up to this degree of fibromyalgia. Isn't it interesting? The diabetes, type 1, you got to have insulin. Type 2, you got to have pills until you need type 1 insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll figure. It's just the dividing of that process, you see.
Right.
And this is just a new way of coming into a place that was always stemmed. They thought it was a back issue, like slippage in the disc and compressions and all those kind of things and how it all works. But then they found that many of the women that were really full-on fibromyalgia participants found it a lot in their hips, in their joints, in their, you know, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In their arms, but more in their center core.
Mm-hmm.
That got them where they couldn't walk. I mean, they get to where they can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it all seems to stem right in that whole hip connection area.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it has to do with it's easier to have fibromyalgia than it is to be grounded in whatever situation you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're trying not to make this be that somebody's going to come up and say, damn you, non-physical, to hell. I have been doomed with this plight, and you say it's because it's my excuse that I don't want to go golfing with my husband because I hate golf, and therefore the fairies of the universe have laid this disconnection on me that I have to now be bedridden because I didn't want to go play golf with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're saying at all. You're asking about what it is, disconnection, and how to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's done from a simpler, basic thing. Or, I've never had sexual relations with anybody other than my mate, and I still got fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? You see, are we going to blame the condom companies because you always used protection when you had intercourse? So... What's the end of this road? But we're trying not, it sounds as though it's coming off of, well, this is why you're screwed up, and this is why you're screwed up,
and
this is why you're
wrong. Yeah, and that's
not the case at all.
And that's sort of the questions that's how I'm asking it, so that's...
Yeah, but we're very clearly stating that any disconnection is you're letting it into your experience as a form of a creation, or... You have usurped your own rules that you set as the standard by which you will be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty coarse, but it's kosher.
Mm-hmm. So with fibromyalgia, it's very similar to the fibroid, then.
It's more personal. It's more hurt.
Uh-huh.
More hurt. Now, here's what they're fixing to come up with that they haven't come up with yet. And we're not creating because we're not creators, but here you go. They are developing a new strain of cortisone. Nasty stuff. You know how you feel about cortisone.
Right.
It tricks your body into thinking that it's better so it can heal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nasty, nasty, nasty stuff, and you know how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming up with a type-specific cortisone that is derived from this cortisol issue with people that have midriff weight problems,
hair-shaped
women that have that issue. Many of those that have that same issue have the fibromyalgia. Are also have that condition as well. Their body shape is the pear-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're kind of like going, wait a second, you're being way too stereotypical.
Yeah.
But if you look at the cases, you know, you don't have folks that are 98 pounds soaking wet and have a good diet and have a good balance and take their supplements and exercise and eat and have a reason for living and have a lust for life, enjoy, burdened down in a place where they can't walk anymore because of this phantom pain that they can't get to the bottom of.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's that whole balancey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But if they're trying to pull from the cortisol, okay, in the cortisone strand of a steroid to help relieve or alleviate. Now, we're not selling naproxen or Anaprox, so just know that. But it's they're trying to alleviate the standard of condition so people can have a way to not use it as their excuse to embrace the myalgia of the fibro. That's coming. And you can push it against it if you want to, but it's coming.
Yeah. They can do what they do. I do what I do.
I understand, but that's cortisone is probably, well, I guess it had to meet the need. I mean, I guess it's right up there with amputation.
Well, what I do, I do a natural form of cortisone, like a desiccated adrenal that has some of the same properties, but it's not as synthetic, and the body works with it a lot better. So, they may need it.
Because the problem, your issue is only then dealing with the half-life of the natural or part of that. Because see how much, if you have to have more to make it work, the half-life of that will still bite you in the butt. It's not the synthetic that's the problem, it's how you embrace the synthetic. Which isn't even, that's even a stretch on your side, but it's still the case. There aren't any bad drugs. And we just spent a half hour telling you how nasty cortisone was, and then we come follow that right up with there are no bad drugs. But think about it though. You see, it's not about the goodness or badness. It's about the causal effect in your environment. You see, because the people feel that way about LSD. It saved my life. You see, a little mushrooms are the only way I can make it through the day. Look at your, we're just dancing all over the place. Look at your methadone. That's nasty. Methadone is not good.
I know.
And yet it's the savior for folks that are on the cocaine or the heroin?
Heroin.
So you can come down. Well, it's kind of like, arsenic didn't get me, but I'm really attached to it, so I think I'll try strychnine to help wean me off of the arsenic.
It goes in such waves. I just read a recent paper about how they finally done enough research on cocaine to be able to tell people, well, actually, it's not so bad after all.
Well, exactly.
So it goes through these stages of,
Well, it's the same thing is true with a glass of red wine. So, and the tannins aren't bad and the sulfides aren't bad. It's just when you get 20 gallons of it to get you through breakfast is when you start having issues. But the same thing is true with Frosted Flakes, though, isn't it? People will be sure you take your insulin when you enjoy your Frosted Flakes. Sometimes the need precedes the cause.
Okay.
That's new.
Yeah.
You have need, then you got to have a cause.
Yeah.
Wait now, isn't that what wars are over? Is over a cause? Isn't that what the war of cancer is? Is because there's a cause?
Well, yeah.
So when you listen to this again, you'll come back and go, wait, it's the same thing. But there are different aspects of it, and that's the new leading edge with the fibromyalgia. Until they decide to call it something else.
Yeah, good point. Okay. That's your gallbladder disease, and apparently...
Why don't you need your gallbladder anymore?
Oh, man, I thought you did.
Well, there you go. But they'll whack them out in 2.3 seconds.
Yeah.
The processing of what you see as processed, the refinement that you have refined, has come into such a place that you end up, if you forfeit your gallbladder, then you end up more times than not with what you call diverticulitis. Just like your appendix, or the chicken would have a crawl, something gets caught in your crawl.
A crawl, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing that gallstones are those filtering process where they can live happily right there until they block a duct.
Mm-hmm.
And if they block a duct, then they're going to whack it out.
Now, you're saying gallstones are a filter, or they're result of filtering?
The result of filtering. Gallstones.
Yeah.
Just like kidney stones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it works, and you can have gallstones all your life and never have a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's when they block a duct, when you have a disconnection,
mm-hmm.
when your plumbing is stopped up, that's when they have to cut it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they'll finally soon come to a way where they can remove the gallstone without removing the gallbladder.
Mm, yeah, they're doing a little bit of that.
Yes, with their zapping, you know, they stick a needle in and zap it and then suck it out.
Mm-hmm.
And still leave the filter, but they still have issue with the bile ducts that are interrupted in that process, and it becomes quite dangerous if you're not careful.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to become systemic.
Yes, yeah. So it's more the blockage of the duct that's the disconnection.
Yes, the duct, the filter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everything that you eat goes through your gallstone. Gallstone goes through your gallbladder.
Mm-hmm, no.
It's just another filter system.
Okay, so is there a particular disconnection that causes them to be
erratic,
a problem?
An erratic pH, not acid pH.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes tannins in tea will do that.
So
it has to do with your cravings.
Uh-huh. Now, I don't really understand what's going on there. Can you go into it some more?
Sure, good. Some people crave certain things for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Foods, you know. I like bouillabaisse. I like something else. I like this. I like that.
Right.
And they're drawn to that. Okay.
Right.
Well, and if that becomes an imbalanceable thing, then it shows up in certain ways with the acidic values of your balance of your yin and yang of your metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But those cravings come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's saying you want lycopene, so you crave tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you eat tomatoes because you crave them, not because you want the lycopene.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, I guess.
And if you, well, why do you eat anything you eat?
Because you like it.
Well, and the thought that you'll feel better in the eating of it.
Right.
You don't like your medicines that you take, but you take them for the thoughts that you'll feel better in the taking of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You have an emotional problem and you figure a bottle of liquor is easier. My problem doesn't go away when I feel better about it. Good for you. Kudos. That'll work.
So some people crave foods.
Everybody craves foods.
And some of those foods can cause acidity, so is there particular foods that are involved, is it the relation?
No, because otherwise there'd only be one blood type.
Yeah.
You can't go at it that way. You got to go from your joy.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it from your joy, then it'll never cause a voracity or a pH imbalance that would set you into a place of having gallstones. Interview everybody who's had gallstones,
mm-hmm.
and let and here's what happens. They go through a process, and they have something that they love, that they eat all the time, that they really enjoy. Maybe leafy greens, turnip greens, maybe different things set off different gallbladder attacks in different people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they crave those things, and they just can't leave them alone, so they have their gallbladder removed so they can enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, their body's craving that. Okay, for the thoughts that feel better in having of it, and that imbalance then sets into a motion where that's way too much.
Mm-hmm.
But they still crave it because it's never enough. When is enough?
Uh-huh.
I mean, the same thing is true with drama in their lives. You think they had all the drama they can stand, and yet they just go right out of that and run in some more.
So it's a... What is driving them to have the craving for a lot of one thing?
The process of this full, the satisfaction of enjoying that particular food stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because some people get it. Well, we want to be real clear here, so let's clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You crave what you crave.
Yeah.
Right? Some people would taste your nut pate and go, Marilyn, do we mention how much we love you? But that is the nastiest thing I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Yeah.
Only because they would say it doesn't meet my palate.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not spicy enough. It's not rich enough. It's too mushy. It's too chunky. It's too... It's not blue plate mayonnaise. You know? You know, the motor oil for the soul mayonnaise. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's just become that process, you see. So in their cravings of enjoying that which they're going to imbibe into their reality, anything that fits in that criteria, then wonderful. But then they get them on these diets. You can't eat carbs and you can't eat meat. You can't eat fish, and you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it eliminates their cravings, but then they substitute that with other things that sometimes they do not have a disconnection regarding. And that's like the diet of the day of can't have red wine, can't have white sugar, can't have complex carbs, must have complex carbs. Blah, 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 and on and on and on, then that becomes a sifting in your process of having to eat bran. Well, give somebody prone to gallbladder problems and diverticulitis and tell them that they have to eat whole bran 3 times a day.
Right. Well, in terms of gallstones and all that, you know, I know about gallstones, they say that it's the fats that drive the whole thing. I've never heard of pH, and
Well, that's why, because you got to have fat to live. Isn't it interesting that they cause the problem? It's something that you have to have, soluble fat you have to have in your nutrition, otherwise you won't metabolize.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, they always say, you know, they always blame it on something that you can't live without.
Yes.
Next thing it'll be, water is your trouble. You're drinking too much. You can't. We're gonna have to eliminate water from your diet.
Uh-huh.
No water from your diet. You're gonna have to do it some other way. Well, then you're like, okay, great. Which choice is that? You know, I can go to whole plasma, but it has an H2O level in it.
So the pH part of the gallbladder and the foods and the cravings, it's, you know, it's kind of a real generalization. It really doesn't give me any information.
Okay, here you go. Then here's some information. Folks that are suffering from acute gallbladder attack,
mm-hmm.
if they'll take 2 ounces of sourwood honey,
mm-hmm.
and mix it with 3 ounces with a pretty nice cider vinegar or champagne vinegar,
mm-hmm.
real vinegar, a pretty high acidic level, and mix it up and take 3 spoons full of that before they have the food that always causes the attack,
mm-hmm.
or during when they're having it, or have it made into a salad that they're eating with that, then they won't have a gallbladder attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that clear enough for you?
Very good. Sour wood honey?
Yes. Local.
Mm.
Here's now, you understand local honey?
Mm-hmm. Bees in the neighborhood.
They have to be that because otherwise, you're going to introduce bacteria or the bee spit that creates the honey.
Uh-huh.
If it's not natural to your geographic proximity,
mm-hmm.
you're going to introduce new things that are going to cause you trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this isn't where you get on the internet and go mail order honey from Zimbabwe.
Right. And the champagne vinegar, I don't know that.
Well, in champagne, if you don't want champagne, you should drink.
Yeah.
But if you have champagne that gets corked and it goes sour and turns to vinegar, champagne vinegar is not quite so like a cider vinegar, but you just like wring your mouth out. Champagne vinegar has the same acidic value, but it's not so pungent. And actually, it's more natural. It's just some people can't have the cider part. You know, maybe they have issue with the apples stuff. So champagne vinegar is perfectly fine, but cider vinegar is good too. Distilled vinegar is not even vinegar, so you would stay away from that. But, you know, it's real good if you're going to wash off your porch. Distilled is great.
Okay, good, good, good. Learning all the time. And
by the way, that also works great with indigestion as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm using that in the IBS book. So 2 ounces of honey and 3 ounces of champagne vinegar.
Or good cider vinegar.
Yeah.
And what you mean, what do I mean? We mean with that is we mean a 7% acidity.
Okay.
That's like a pickling vinegar.
7% acidity, okay. And 3 spoons before meals or during an attack.
Or if you love greens, let's say you love turnip greens, and anytime you enjoy turnip greens or collard greens or whatever it is, if you can't eat that because of your gallbladder and you want it more than life itself, then do the vinegar honey before and then some after, and then you can enjoy in moderation that thing that you're craving. Because your body knows best. Right? So you say father knows best or mother knows best. But your body knows best. If you're craving something, have it. Just temper it into a place where you can work within your system.
The vinegar, is the vinegar the most active part of that? Do people have to take the honey or can they just do the vinegar?
Well, okay. That's a metabolism issue. The honey, the sourwood honey, the natural effect of sourwood honey is a taming of the shrew. Because when you ingest, say, remember in England they do fish and chips with the malt vinegar? Well, the reason they do it was to cut the grease. Well, that works just great. So if that's the case, if that's why you're doing it, then great. Just the vinegar will be fine. But you actually need the sourwood part of the honey to bring in the natural enzymes to allow the gallbladder to filter that part of changing the pH of your attackable cause. So therefore, you should know.
Yes, hello. I don't know, maybe Bob checked in for a minute.
Well, no, it didn't sound like normally his is clearer, but regardless, it's all right. So now, you come into that place, so it actually the temperament of that balance would be very necessary because the complex sugars, the dark white sugars, allow the gallbladder to absorb the acidic benefit to have a reaction with the pH, not of the body, but of the gallbladder. It's like an astringent. And if an astringent will work, it's great, but it'll take the finish off if you're not careful.
I don't understand.
Well, let me tell you then.
Sugar allows the gallbladder to absorb the acidic benefit.
The change of the pH, because otherwise you're just going to make it go from pH and make it acid. But the sugars in the sourwood honey and those, we call it bacteria, but it's really not bacteria, but it's that natural bee spit that introduces that and allows the gallbladder to absorb the vinegar effect without having it be so violent that it's an astringent. Some people find it just effective to drink lemon water. But that, if you did it, if you gave that as the prescription, then everybody would do that, and then they would, you know, eat their stomach out with too much acidic acid, too much acid. Does that make sense? It's a balance.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just trying to get the details on it, because with digestive problems. I'm wanting people to take a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar and some water before meals, and I'm wondering whether or not to add the honey or just leave it alone.
What's the water do?
It dilutes the vinegar.
Why?
You don't want to take a straight teaspoon of vinegar. It is too harsh.
Why?
It's acidic. It's irritating.
To what part? The tongue, the palate, or the belly, or what part?
Can be all of it.
Well, but diluting it down, doesn't that relieve the benefit of the cider vinegar?
Relieve the benefit.
Yeah, if you dilute it down to nothing, then you don't have anything.
Well, if it gets if you put a teaspoon of vinegar in your mouth and swallow it, then it's diluted anyway in your stomach fluids.
But it's a full blown dose of it. Whereas if you add the water to it, don't you change the natural acidity? What would be wrong with taking the spoonful of vinegar and then drinking some water?
Well, either way, I mean, it's been done with water, you know, forever.
Okay, then good. I mean, fine. And we're not offensive with water, but if somebody's having a gallbladder attack, get them to get a spoonful of water down is a trick. Because
mm-hmm.
everything that they add to their stomach adds more pressure and makes more of that ductwork more caustic.
All right.
More violent.
So, yeah, in a...
Drink a gallon of water and see what happens.
In a treatment sense, then, if you had the vinegar and honey, then you could just be eating that down and it might go down a lot easier.
It will go down easier, and it will also be more concentrated in its effect getting to the gallbladder to change the pH. It relieves the pressure from the stopped-up ductwork and the bile flow that's causing the pressure, which is called, same thing is true with your diverticulitis. Same song, different verse, just
all right.
Different. Just in a lower key. Because you can whack out the gallbladder and then they develop diverticulitis.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I know they're absolutely... negative effects for taking out that organ, but why the diverticulitis? Because the bile isn't helping.
The bile isn't filtered any longer through the gallbladder if your gallbladder is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
truthfully, it's the same case with the appendix. Let natural selection remove. You'll have babies start being born without appendices.
Uh-huh.
Then you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But don't think you're going to get rid of appendices by whacking them out of every human being.
Right.
Same thing with ovaries.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm down with Bob now, and I thought Bob, I'd wind down with Ion. You could ask some questions, and then we'd finish up with JW. He wants to know how the radio show went.